Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the error in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam.
Pausing that. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, he's saying that it's that they're getting dead air. So this is John Osgood. Thank you for letting us know. He's communicated through Facebook, so thank you, and we'll do what we can. Yeah, I have to do that with my own show, but please encourage people to come listen either here on YouTube or other places. Yeah, there's a lot to do to try and get when you're broadcasting to a lot of places. Sometimes BTR is just not that cooperative, unfortunately. Yeah.
We'll do our best. If there's anything we can do to fix it, for sure we will fix it.
So the thing to think about when we were talking about this is that Al-Qaeda is encouraging a hijra to the United States for the purpose of jihad. And that's the thing I wanted to get at.
As if we do not have a few hundred thousand already in America who are willing to perform jihad in the first of time, trust me. We got enough Muslims in America to burn this country twice in 5 minutes. We don't need any more. But if you want to bring more, bring more. Go ahead. The Democrats are open the country for the Muslims, and everybody is welcome to come to America, unless you're a Christian refugee or you're a Christian persecutor or you are. These Christians are not welcome to America. Muslims, yes, come on down. If you don't come from the embassy, you come from the border. It doesn't matter. We'll bring you here.
So my next story I have comes from Sweden, and this is sadly about children. And the story has an interesting twist. This is on investigativeproject.org. Sweden challenged by Islamic rumors of kidnapped Muslim children by Hani Gorba. He writes, Sweden's child protection system is the latest target of malicious Islamic rulers. Children removed from their families' homes due to abuse and neglect concerns are really being kidnapped and indoctrinated, Islamic websites and videos claim. Now, I've seen this kind of stuff on several different and some from several different countries that Muslims are making these claims. They make them after someone beat their child within an inch of their life, and then the government came and said that's not for the child, and they removed the child from the home. Let me just continue. When kidnapped, this Muslim, they have a picture of a child. It says, when kidnapped, this Muslim child, after being denied of his family, he will either be turned into an atheist or a Christian. And who's putting this out? Muslim Brotherhood. This is a Muslim Brotherhood cleric, Mohammed Al-Sagir, claimed in an interview last month with Turkey. Now, it's, again, you got to look at the propaganda voice. It's Muslim Brotherhood. You can't trust it. And this is just in Sweden. This is an article about Sweden, and I've been reading these type of things for months.
Let me understand the protocol. It's okay for a Muslim man to abuse the children. It's okay for a Muslim man to marry children. It's okay for a Muslim man to do whatever he does with the children. But it's not okay for the Swedish government or whatever country government to take these children out of the abuse and the abuse of life. And the only way they're going to stop the government from doing their job for the peace and the sanity of the country to say, hey, you are making our children atheists. You are making our children Christian. So please leave our children alone so we can abuse them mentally, physically, sexually, and none of your business. Is that what they want?
They want to teach their children hatred, and they consider this an important part of their indoctrination. And that's what it is.
So for the children who are still abused by their parents, you'll figure out you leave us or allow somebody else to take you, that means that is the infidel, that is the agenda, who are making other Christians. So let us all hate this country, which opened its door for us to come in, which made human out of us, instead of we being abused in the modern world. Now we are human. That destroys the rest of this country by bringing the hatred into the heart of the children and grandchildren to come. That's what they're doing.
Yes. This next article I'm going to share is personal because it's local for me. SUNY Brockport, which is mentioned in here, is down the road from me. It's about 20 miles from where I live, and it's where my sister graduated from. So this is an article written by Patrick Dunleavy. Now, Pat Dunleavy is a friend of mine that I consider an extremely important person to New York State. Part of the reason why is because he wrote a book and called The Fertile Soil of Jihad. But he's also the former Deputy Inspector General for the New York State Department of Corrections. And he lectured on terrorism for the United States Air Force Special Operations School. This man is very, very important to, he's one of my personal heroes. So he wrote this article, and I actually presented on this today and in front of a Patriots group locally, where an anti-Semitic cop killer is to speak at SUNY Brockport. That SUNY is what we call the State University of New York. And so SUNY Brockport has invited a convicted domestic terrorist co-founder of an anti-Semitic organization to be its featured speaker on April 6th. Anthony Baum, also known as Jaleel Muntakim, was a member of the Black Liberation Army, a domestic terror group that was responsible for a series of bombings and murders during the 1970s and 80s. A 1991 Maryland State Police report said that killing police officers was one of BLA's stated goals. Group members killed at least 15 police officers. Baum was involved in three of those murders. Now, I spoke with a sheriff who's running for office today for governor in the state of New York. And he said, this is the thing that bothers me the most about this propaganda thing that's going out there. We talk about propaganda and where it comes from. The propaganda out there is saying, well, he drove a runaway car. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. Yeah, he shot them. He was involved with shooting the cops. He killed. He's involved with the murder of three police officers. Joseph Piangentini, Waverly Jones. Waverly Jones, I know that at least Waverly Jones is black, so he's out because our past governor, Cuomo, decided to appease BLM by releasing not one but two cop killers. And, yeah.
God help us, brother.
Yeah.
Governors and senators and congressmen and women and state attorneys, they are just the opposite of reality. I've seen what they've been doing the last 12 years or 14 years in this country, like it does not make any sense. Why they're hating the American people, why they're hating the normal citizens, the God citizens, why they are for criminals, why they are for drugs, why is our child abused? Why is our even that lady who knows us the whole white thing is putting with the Supreme Justice, who just found out about her 4 days ago that as a judge, she has the least punishment for all child abuse cases. Why in the world open pick up the most the qualified person to be the Supreme Justice of all? She's a Democrat, she's black. She's a woman. Oh, did I mention she's a woman? Yes. A woman black maker that is dead to fulfill his promise. That man will destroy the country every way she's a woman. Here we go. They're bringing a woman who most likely if she will ever have a decision to do with child abuse in the near future. She will go with the criminal, with the molesters, with the abuser, with the pedophilia. Leaders of the land. I mean, it's sick. Why would you pick up a woman like that to be in the best high position in the court? God help us.
This is That's the best that they have to offer. Keep thinking of that. That's their concept of the best. Next article comes from Sweden. And this one, I love Samnit. So anybody who uses Google Translate, I recommend samnytt.se. I met one of the guys who runs this site, Kenneth Ekram, and former parliamentarian of Sweden. And he's just an outstanding gentleman and former, I say, great politician that's stood for Christ in many ways. I just have a lot of respect for him. But this article says, Ukrainian women's night of terror. Somalis enter the accommodation, quote, "I'm so scared I want to go home to be in. I mean, this came out today. All right. And they want to go home to be in the midst of the war. Now, this came out at 8 p.m. today. Thousands of Ukrainian women and children have fled to Sweden in recent weeks. This paper is the first media outlet to report that some of those who fled want to return to the war in Ukraine. The reason is that after an incident when the foreign men entered their homes, they do not feel safe. When there are bombs, I know at least that I can go down to the basement and hide there," says one of the women. Busloads of Ukrainian refugee women with children have arrived in Orbero in recent weeks. Several of them have been offered a bed at Orbero City, Vandrehem. But Ukrainians don't feel safe in a hostel. The background is some incidents until Monday night when a number of unknown men, on several occasions, tried to get into the women. Okay. What do we know? We know that they are Somalian. The first incident occurred 3 o'clock in the morning. Two Somali men started knocking on the hostel's front door. Ukrainian refugee woman who was English tried to talk to them, asked what they wanted. She explained that the only women live there, but they claimed that they wanted that they have a friend and they want to come in and you know what they're asking for. Now they're saying, it's not just the Somalis. At 5 o'clock in the morning, airmen came instead and tried to enter. So they're not feeling safe in the places they're brought. They want to, they're being brought to as refugee status. They want to go back to a place where war is occurring because they feel safer there.
Muslim Syrians, jihadi Syrians, who were going to help the sick, crazy maniac president of Russia to fight the Ukrainians. I mean, literally, here's a sick man who's claiming about that he's a Christian, using the Bible verse in his propaganda speeches in the Syrian among this 200,000 people who were forced to go there, and they forced to catch a flight, and they forced to smile, and they forced to clap happy, but China and Russia. That's okay. So anyway, so imagine these thousands of Muslim men who are going to be blessed by Putin to go to Ukraine to kill the men and to raise their wife on the door, bring the 7th century back to our daily life. So I'm not surprised someone would do that, but here's a question I just come from the phone, you talk about the phone. Do you know how many Ukrainians came to America as refugees?
That's a good question. I know that we have at least one who tried to come here illegally. That happened on March 11th.
We bring hundreds of thousands of Muslims from all over the world. We got 120,000 from Afghanistan. Half of them, three-quarters of them are Taliban. We left $80 billion or more than that weapons, high weapons to the people of Taliban. Why can't we send the same amount of weapons to the people of Ukraine? No, no. We don't want them to win the war. We want the war to drag itself. If we can keep this war until midterm election, man, that's the best time. I'm not kidding. Can you imagine that war will go for another 8 months? They don't want the war. And I'm supposed to tell you, if we can bring 120,000 Afghani, Muslim Afghani, most of them are jihadi, why can't we bring 200,000 Ukrainians? Why can't we get all our air raid in all the cities near the border of Ukraine and fill them with these people? After all, we know that moms and children and all the people, because the young men who can fight are still there to defend their country, to fight for their country. So if you don't think this is a reasonable thing, I have not heard one person yet, not on Fox News, not on CNN, not on any other garbage TV station, talk about why can't you bring a million or two Ukrainians from the war of Russia to America. These are real refugees. These are real people need to be helped. No, we're not going to help them to win the war. We're going to bring them to America's refugees. Find me another Muslim country where there's going to be war, and I promise you, we're going to bring 200,000-300,000 of them. I promise you.
Well, we saw that in August. We definitely saw that in August and September. Oh, my gosh. This next one, this next article comes from Somalia. Daynel Secondary School manager killed in roadside bomb in Mogadishu. A traditional elder who was also the head of the primary and secondary school has been killed on the Tuesday of this week in a bomb blast in Daynel District. According to witnesses, Dahir Hassan Toho, better known as Dahir Diggle, died after a roadside bomb explosion planted on the road in the district exploded. Security forces arrived. Yeah. And this is another Al-Shabaab, another Islamic terror event. And
we bring more Al-Shabaab Somali to Somalia, Somali to Minnesota, because we still have so many empty houses there. And we're going to build them more houses, and then we're going to move them from Minnesota to the rest of the United States of America states, and then we can have more empty places so we can bring more Muslim Somali to America.
Yeah.
You know how good these jihadi are killing the good other people around them there, but at the same time, we bring them here without any benefit. It doesn't matter who's coming. After all, they all have the name Muhammad, the same Muhammad. Isn't it the same?
And the important thing that he's mentioning is the lack of vetting. Todd Benzman talks about how the vetting process, how it's supposed to take not just a few weeks or a few months. It takes about a year or a year to two, 1 to 3 years. And there's reasons for that. That's why we generally make people wait 1 to 3 years when you're talking about a refugee status. But they have brought in 100,000 people without any. Yeah.
You know, I have family members in Egypt who've been waiting up for 4 years to renew their visa. I mean, it's not the Egyptian visa. Their paperwork is clean. They already passed all the vetting. They are Christian. They are my family representative. But guess what? For them to come to visit in America, it's been 4 years they've been waiting. I said, change the name to Muhammad and come through the border. You'll be very welcome to stay in America as long as you want. As a matter of fact, don't buy a flight until you get to me here in Missouri, get your flight to the Mexican border, because then the government will put you on an airplane or on a bus to whatever destination you want to go to. Save yourself a couple on the ball for every member of your family. It's sick, man. It's sick. Anything else before we take our first break?
I have one more. Suspected jihadis kill at least 19 in a bus attack in Niger. Armed men attacked a bus gang. At least 19 passengers in western Nigeria, the border with Burkina Faso, the Association of Passenger Transport Companies said Thursday. So this is just a few days ago. Again, these are jihadis that are linked to Al-Qaeda.
What jihad? You keep putting the word jihad, jihad. You know that our lives today is about jihad. Are you trying to scare people about Islam? You're Islamophobe, aren't you?
I'm a truth teller. I'm sorry if that scares you. Truth can often be scary.
Live in the books today, our program. We're going to come back to you guys after this break where we talk about jihad. What do you think they're teaching our children in our public school in America? Using our tax money to brainwash and indoctrinate our children and our grandchildren in this country about the topic of jihad. A quick break. We'll be right back.
This Ray of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you and your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you've been burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin. We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. The 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel, Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now, back to our show. All right, welcome back. Thank you for being with us in this beautiful program, this Sunday night, the best 2 hours of every day of my life. And it is March 19, 2022. Once again, it's good to have you with me, Brother Paul, as we share this time together to talk about jihad, live in the best books about jihad. Any questions you guys see for those who are watching the comments and the chat and questions and the stuff? I have no idea. Hey, so by the way, don't forget to like us and ring the bell and all the other good stuff. Whatever you know what they want to talk about, just do it. Do it so we can get stronger and better and bigger. Amen.
Amen.
Ring the bell and like us. Anything else besides these three things?
Jerry, this is really important. Share this out. I would suggest using hashtag social studies, hashtag lies in the textbooks. I'm suggesting that because we need to make this trend. It's important that the truth get out, and parents have no clue, and many social studies teachers have no clue that they're telling these, that they're just continuing these lies because, again, social studies teachers are generalists. They can't know everything, so they may not know this area, and they're just being told the truth through textbooks.
Exactly. Well, here we go. Let's move on with our study, Lies About Jihad. We have a couple of them. 5, 6 lies, 7 lies. Here's one more lie for tonight, and if we have more time, we can maybe start with the next lie, Lies About Jihad. Here we go. So we're going to waste any more time. Here's world culture, the global mosaic, Princeton, 2004, on page 571. On page 571. Here is what our children are being brainwashed with.
Jihad includes a person's inner struggle to achieve spiritual peace as well as any battle in defense of Islam.
Wow, Brother Paul. Personal inner struggle to achieve spiritual peace. You idiot, there is no peace in Islam. For sure, there is no spiritual peace in Islam. So get this out, this garbage life out of the textbook. Now, inner struggle. What verse in the Quran can Muslims quote for us so he can educate us about jihad is a personal inner struggle. I mean, so far, everything they lie about, it is their own words, their own opinion, their own vocabulary, their own garbage. Okay? Now, yet we find some Muslim imam, some Muslim scholar, who inserts in the textbook verses where the word jahidu, perform jihad, is mentioned, so we can understand the true meaning of the inner struggle.
I've been waiting for that because it doesn't exist.
Statements of Muhammad in the Hadith, which is the foundation of Islam.
Hey, this book, yeah, this book here has nothing about the, you know, it doesn't have any defense of the concept of inner jihad. Think about it. That's the...
Allah ordered the Muslim people to perform jihad. Yet anyone that goes to one of these verses, when I see that jihad is personal inner struggle. For a Muslim man to practice that jihad, who has spiritual peace. There is no spirituality in Islam, period. Look about jihad, look about anything. Even the Muslim prayer, there's no spiritual in it. Man, okay? Muslim fasting, there's no spiritual man in it. Muslim, this moment, nothing in Islam spiritually. That's demonically, yeah, and to lead the spirit to become a savage, yeah, but nothing in Islam is spiritual. Now, show me one of these 26 verses, or by the way, there are 79 verses in the Quran which is teaching. War. Perform jihad, 26, engage in war, 79. But the rest of the verses which teach hatred to the Jews and the Christian, blah, blah, blah. Over 300 verses in that where I learn about the religion of Islam, the demonic spirituality of Islam. And not one of them talk about spiritual peace, and not one of them talk about internal struggle. Inner struggle that only did. Now, defense of Islam. Can any Muslim put me one battle, as I go in the battle of the Quran without the square, he was called the battle, I should not do the Quran. I apologize. Actually, it is in my book, Jihad. This one here, we talk about all the battles which Muhammad was involved in. All the battles which Muhammad was involved in. The name of the battle, how many people were to fight, how many people were killed, how much did he give? Okay. Show me one of these battles which led by Muhammad, some of the battles which led by Muhammad, or the other battle which led by one of his leaders, and he appointed somebody to go on his behalf to do this battle. Show me one. For the purpose of defensive war. Somebody attacked Muhammad. Somebody attacked some of Muhammad's people. And that's why Muhammad and people say, hey, guys, we are religious love, we're religious peace, but since somebody is harming us, since somebody is attacking us, we have to defend ourselves or we have to go and fight. Some Muslims write to us in the same garbage textbook a verse for a reference to a battle where Muhammad and his people fought defensively for the purpose of defending. So there is no personal inner struggle. There is no spiritual peace. There is no defensive war in Islam. I challenge any Muslim to come on the show right now. We're going to stop what they're doing. Okay, we're going to stop what they're doing. Somebody come and say, this attack took you wrong because he is the verse of Allah, because he's the name of Muhammad, and now we know that you're doing that. Let's go to another garbage lie in another textbook. And it is 192-193, written since 2008. You go.
The Quran permitted air defensive war as jihad, or struggle in the way of God. Mohammed's successors expanded their territory.
It's not a British hat. She said what? The textbook says the Quran permitted air defensive war as jihad. What verse is the Quran, you idiot? What verse is the Quran, you stupid, useful idiot?
You know,
Here's the Quran. It's in my hand.
Yeah, and the other point here is this is supposed to be a textbook. And you notice there is one thing that you have not seen in all the presentations you've done. Again, a textbook should be considered some kind of a scholarly book. But you notice they don't even have a footnote or a citation to say, oh, that's where we got this from. Yeah. Like you're saying, you haven't seen one.
The most savage book, a holy book, that Shah Malakar Muhammad, the father of Muhammad, a prophet, the savage, wicked, evil woman, holy and righteous. That's what the textbook is saying. So when we talk about the Quran, permitted fair defensive war. And show me the verse, you stupid.
Assalamu alaikum, ya habibis.
I cannot see, man. looking at my PowerPoint presentation.
But we can see you are very, very angry. Yeah, Habibi, me, Muslim. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 190.
Yeah.
Me, Al-Muslim. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 190.
Yeah.
Yeah, Habibi. MashaAllah, hayya, hayya.
Hayya, 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 mashaAllah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Baqarah, 192.
192.
Okay, I read it for you.
Yes.
I read it for you. No problem. 190. An engaging war for the sake of Allah against those who engage in war against you. Show me somebody, excuse me, it's a Muslim, it's a Muslim. Show me one person engaged in war against Muhammad and his people. Muslims are using that verse. I understand what you're saying. Muslims, if they don't engage in war against those who engage in war with them, give me a name of a battle, and I got all of them, with the date, when the non-Muslims start the war against Muhammad. I understand the Quran says, kill them when they come. Okay, show me where they killed you first.
MashaAllah, Bibi. Razwai, brother.
What about Razwai, brother?
The Qurashi attacked Medina.
Okay. Let me teach our dear Muslim listeners right now about Rasul Bell. Muhammad, the chief of thieves, the road robbers, okay? Him and his companions around him, they love the attack caravan. There's a man who was carrying the goods of the people of Christ, and he was carrying the goods with him going down, and the good prophet of yours that sees Muhammad and his people were about to attack this gentleman to kill him and dismantle with him and to take all the goods as small for, as been doing for many times in the past. That man sends a message to the people of Christ, come protect your goods. Muhammad is about to attack me. Muhammad is sending his people to find me, in a weak spot in that day. But that man was pretty smart. He all did that away to take his camel, take his goods, all their events, and went to different direction, and he was able to escape Muhammad. And Muhammad is good, but he did not get hold of him. Don't you think that shows the real garbage Muhammad and the real garbage of the Muslims? What they were doing living at the time, what they were doing was the people of Christ's goods. They were killing men and stealing goods. That is the garbage Muhammad is upon him. The criminal Muhammad is upon him.
Brother, you cannot say these things about our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You cannot say these things about our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You cannot say that. You have to be nice if you want to talk to me. I'm a Muslim, cannot say that. You cannot say that to me. You want to talk to me, you cannot say that to me. So you think brother Hammer, because of the caravan robbery, we never did any robbery.
How was
Muhammad making
living? So why did he have rules to divide booty?
Because Allah said in the Quran, help Allah and Allah will help you.
Allah needs help. Brother,
you don't understand. Just help means charity. The charity comes and Muhammad comes from that charity.
So Allah is
broken.
Allah is poor financially. That's why Muhammad gave 20% of the
spoil. No, that's not the spoil of art. Because Muhammad Saab was very, very rich. Because, you know, Muhammad said in Quran, Allah is not shy of saying this, that whoever wants to have a private consultation with the Prophet Muhammad, he needs to first bring charity.
Amen. Yeah. Killing
so me. Allah needs a payoff.
Even when he wanted to go to war against the Romans, you know, he sent them a message. Can you imagine that piece of whatever it is you want to call them, the guy with the 10,000 soldiers, the Romans, Islam desperate. If not, I'm going to go in war with you. Okay, come to fight. So he's a bully, and somebody starts shutting out. Not one battle. And I challenge anyone to show me one battle. somebody, the Egyptians traveled all the way from Egypt and they went to Mecca Medina to find the Muslims. Therefore, Muhammad said, Muhammad said, the Egyptians or any other country, the invaders are the Muslims, the invaders is Muhammad and his people, the invaders are the followers of the book. Nobody attacked the Muslims, nobody harmed Muhammad or Stephen, really was the people that Muhammad defended himself.
But brother, before the Hijrah, they pirated Muhammad and they did not give him any money. That is why he did the Hijrah.
So he's supposed to...
And you know what else? I can tell you a hundred stories, made up stories by Muslims. Yeah, I love it. He's on mental attempt. Please, you need money, we'll give you money. You need gold, we'll give you gold. We'll give the best. But stop insulting our God. Now, this stuff they keep stories in 300-400 years after Muhammad died. This is not true, Adam. This is garbage life. Muhammad was an invader. Muhammad was a bull. Muhammad was a thief. Muhammad was a killer. Muhammad was not a prophet. In any shape or form of understanding of the prophet. You have the most of people, and that's an amazing question. But as a matter of fact, I never really asked the question until I met this person. Yeah, I went to that off here, and she asked a Muslim believer, what qualified Muhammad to be a prophet? And the man did not have an answer. Oh, he was only a Muslim for a year. A good American will become a Muslim a year. Okay. Then he was so happy to see the Imam. So Hatun asked the Imam, what qualified Muhammad to be a prophet? The Imam said, you answer the question after the prayer. We sit him up for a whole hour. And after the prayer, the Imam and the five sisters of the men take us out of Zawah. Everyone was able to answer the question, what qualified Muhammad to be a prophet? Forget about the Jihad and the war. The man cannot be a prophet. End of story.
Brother, you need to understand, this is so Islamophobic. But you need to understand that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very peaceful. Very, very peaceful. He did not do anything bad. Even the lady who used to throw garbage on him when she became sick, Muhammad then visited her. And then she embraced Islam.
Let me do a better one. Muhammad used to have a Jewish name, and that Jewish name was so mean to Muhammad, peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad loved the Jewish neighbor and loved everybody because Muhammad was a loving man before God. And that Muslim and that Jewish man used to, in the morning, when we poopy, when he needed poopy, and he carried the poopy and put it in front of Muhammad. So Muhammad wake up and he outside the door, and he almost stepped on the poopy, but smiled and he understand, he cleaned the poopy and put it aside. And Muhammad said, every morning when you wake up, you go outside, there's a poopy waiting for him because that poopy is a Jewish man. One morning, Prophet Muhammad, he stood up on him, you wake up and he got the shovel and he got the thing to carry the poopy and look, there's no poopy. Surprise! The following morning, Prophet Muhammad come on out with the shovel, he feed the poopy, there's no poopy. So Prophet Muhammad was so worried. He was so worried that he said, there must be something wrong with my Jewish. I love my Jewish people and I don't want things to be okay in any way. So Prophet Muhammad knocked at the door of the Jewish people. The Jewish people said, who is that? And he sounded like sick. Prophet Muhammad said, I am Prophet Muhammad, see on me. May I come and see you? Because you have not put any book in the front of my door. Last day, said, oh, Muhammad, I'm sorry. I am really sick. So Muhammad go inside and found me sick. He brought me food. Give him camel urine. He started drinking camel urine. He became so strong, and he was not sick anymore. Then, because Prophet Muhammad shared the love and the peace with his Jewish neighbors, the Jewish neighbor believed in Muhammad, and he gave a good
morning. Where is this story written?
I know it's true. Muslims always say
it. Where is it written? I think it's written on the same location where it is written the throwing of the garbage on the Muhammad.
The man invented the garbage, another man makes it even bigger, so he makes it two. Besides
that, these are both made up stories, man. That is so silly. I have in Pakistan.
Prophet Muhammad said because the Muslims said so.
So in Pakistan, what happened is there are so many Muslims who comes up and gives me this garbage story, the garbage. And every day when I ask them, Where is it written? Can you give me one single source? Where is it written? Nobody was able to provide me a single source of this story. It is not there. I have not seen it. I don't know where it is.
Because and you don't read, man. You have to believe, Adam.
The poopy story is also in the same book where the garbage story is.
Besides, the one who the prophet of Allah, peace be on him, he used to open his finger and water run from his finger like river, fresh water.
By the way, just to let the people know, because I raised a question and our brother Osama just gave one issue on the Badr. Actually, there were four battles before Badr. And Muhammad initiated four.
Yes.
And these are all what Muhammad initiated. There are 49 sarayas that Muhammad initiated. Sarayas are where Muhammad was not present, but he sent his expedition people. The first one happened in March 623 AD, according to Islamic scriptures. It is called Expedition of Hamza, Ibn Abdul Muttalib. So this is the one he sent 30 to 40 men to a seashore near Al-Aif in Mecca and Medina. The second one was sent by Muhammad, and he sent Ubaidah ibn al-Haritha. Once again, he was also going to rob the caravan. Third one was...
Not rob the caravan. Don't say that word about
Muhammad. Sorry. Who was the caravan?
Who invited Islam?
Mashallah. MashaAllah. Towards the caravan, let's just put it this way. The third was Al-Kharir expedition, Al-Kharari basically in Arabic. Once again,
that is the poop.
Yeah, I like the allocation of that. Sent in 623 as well. The fourth one was Badan, and that is where they actually captured the people, captured some. After the Badan, that incited the Quraysh is to finally say, oh, now they are killing. They are not just roaming, but they are killing, and they are making people capture the war. Then they came in, and they started to say that. But what happened was, before the Badr, another one happened, which is Bawa, the Battle of Bawa. So Battle of Bawa happened in a very, very deceptive way. And in the night, when they were posing as the caravan people, but in the night they started shooting at them, and the army was of 200 men, and it was crazy. That these two, the Badan and the Bawal, actually led them to initiate a full-blown battle of Badr, which they came to Medina. So four major battles happened, which no Muslim will tell you.
One of them was trouble in the way of God or sins of war. I mean, you're talking about the very loving, peaceful Muslims. They will not attack on their hands to take the goods and kill the men and keep the women and children. Come on, man.
This was considered a normal form of income back then. That's the thing that bothers me.
My question to all Muslims always the same. What was Muhammad's occupation after he left Mecca to Medina? I mean, he was there for 8 years. Did he ever hold a job? Did he ever work? The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who came in the flesh, worked as a carpenter. What was Muhammad until he started the ministry? And 3 years ministry, that is the cross, to die, to be buried, to rise again on the third day. It is God Almighty who came in the flesh. What was Muhammad's job?
The first job that we know, he's working as a servant for Khadija, and I said that, employee of Khadija, I said that to a Muslim today in my channel when I was having a debate to a Pakistani Muslim who now lives in America. And I said, you are telling me that men had to provide the women. But once again, if you look into the Islamic history, Muhammad Sahab was actually an employee of Khadija. He said, you are defaming my prophet. You cannot do that. You have to do blah, 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 blah. I said, what do you mean by defaming? He was an employee of Khadija. He was a servant of Khadija. It's written in the scripture. And he ran away.
Anyway. Let's move on. I love the discussion with you. You pretend to be a good Muslim, but you're a terrible Muslim. miracles caused by the Muslims, or miscarriages by the Muslims, or the holy died. All right. Muhammad's successors expanded the territory. Can somebody tell me what expanding of the territory of Muhammad's successors has to do with the Prophet Jihad?
Because they were doing jihad, brother. That's
how
they were expanding the territory.
So Adam, the textbook is contradicting itself. In page 192, it's telling me, in page 192, the Prophet made a defensive war of jihad. Defensive war of jihad, that means you are in your own country, you are in your own border, and somebody came to attack you, and you fight it back to kill the last one of the evil people who come to attack. That is defensive war. Now, mm-hmm. when you say Muhammad, and they 360, that is different to what makes me sick in my stomach. You know,
for trouble and capture, you ask to give your personal duties for money. You focus on overcoming immortality within themselves. At other times, jihad may be interpreted as holy war against Islam and the Muslim community. However, just holy war is considered holy by the community, not by an individual Muslim or small group.
Look how they twist everything about jihad. Jihad is trouble in God, capital G, for the apostle Esther. I'm sorry. Christian and Jews do not struggle in God's service. Because God does not need anybody to struggle for him. God can do it himself. That's right. If you read my volume one, the hot holy word of the Bible, you find that all the wars which Jewish people fought, it is not fought to win by the strength, by their might, by their number. All the holy wars in the Bible, it is a war for one day. It must be one day. It cannot be 2 days in a row. And God gave victory to the Jewish people in their holy war, not because they're struggling for his service. No, God does not need them. God is using them as a tool to get rid of the evil and the sin of the world. And they let them know, when you sin, you'll be punished the same way. And that's exactly what happened for the chosen one, God's chosen one, the people of Israel. When you sin, God punishes the same way. And you can go on and on about the war. The war for the Jewish people is not to be by military. It is the people, the normal people. They don't wear a uniform for fighting. They don't have the riot or have the sword. Many of the battles they won is like a joke. You know, you listen, guys, we read the Quran and we laugh at the Quran. It's a stupid joke, okay? We know that for a fact. Again, there's so much comedy on the Quran. I'm going to do a whole presentation about laugh with me. When I laugh at the Quran. But when you read the battle which the Jewish people won, it's a laugh or two. Imagine this guy Gideon. We got 30,000 people. Some guy said, whoa. Gideon, time out. 50,000. Too much, man. Everyone afraid to leave. Okay, the number dropped to 3,000. Now Gideon is giving warning, 3,000. What am I going to do? 3,000. I maybe we'll be able to win the battle. I'm losing all my 3,000. Oh my God. And God said, Too many. Listen to the river. That's the river. Drink by his hand or live by his hand. Now 300. What do you imagine with me? Brother Paul, Brother Adam. Gideon is going to go to a battle with 300 people after he has 50,000. Give him 150,000 and he'll tell you, can I have some more? No. In the Bible, 3,000 is too much. 3,000 is too much. Take the 300. And one of the 300 guys have a huge store. Sword. No, two swords. How in the world are you going to win a battle by 300 people without even a sword? Just if he plays that vessel and a light, bring the vessel and say to Jesus and to the Lord. Here's what the enemy did.
They killed each other.
And Joshua and he was just sitting there watching. This is a comedy. This is a joke. But why God did this to the people? Because he's telling them, not by your might, not by your power. I am the one who does the work. I am the one who does the work. I am what gives you this. So, I don't need 50,000. I don't need 3,000. 300 is plenty enough. I don't want you to have to say a sword. Because I will fight for you and I'll do this. That's how that works. But it is not subtle in God need help, like you said, have good work. If Allah needs help, and Allah needs help, then that's exactly how you're going to have victory in the world.
Adam, mute yourself, I think.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was actually saying that, brother, just because you told us the story of Joshua, which is not the story, I don't know, I don't have the right word.
Gideon.
The event of the Joshua and how God... Now, let's do a comparison. Let's read Quran chapter number 9, verse number 120. See, I'm going through chapter number 2, verse 190.
No,
chapter number
2, verse
190.
Don't see as they get the verse to the real verse.
So 9:120, brother. Show us 9:120. Read. And I will show you the history of it.
9:120, I'll get it.
9:120.
All right. Just a second.
Yeah,
okay.
9:120. It says, it was not the people of the Medina and the Bedouins around them to abandon Allah's messenger or to prefer their life or his life, because neither thirst nor labor or nor hunger could come on them for the sake of Allah, nor do they accept which may anger the infidels, nor do they receive from the enemy anything but what was prescribed to them as a good work. Surely Allah will not waste the wages of the fruit of
God. So basically what is Allah saying is, Allah is saying, let me just tell everyone over here, Allah is saying, go to the war. Please, he is begging. Hey, I beg you. You gotta listen to Muhammad.
Please help Muhammad.
Can you see my screen now? I'm gonna change your screen. You have to literally see this screen. Okay,
I cannot see.
Okay, you remove that. You remove that. So
I have to see
this screen.
Can I
see myself? Okay, now check this out. I'm gonna show you.
Yeah.
This is very important. There's a reason for 9120. The reason is that Muhammad wanted to attack Tabuk. You know how far Tabuk is? So, according to right now, the book is 623 kilometers
yes.
away from Medina.
Yeah,
right? If we go by a car at 120 miles an hour, this will take you 6 hours 28 minutes. Back then when you had camels and you were traveling by foot as 623 kilometers, that's nearly 15 days of travel.
Correct.
15 days of travel. The book, I have asked every single Muslim in the history of my debate, whenever we talk about battles, what did the people of the book do to you that you had to a defensive battle to the book? So, Ibn Kathir says, look at what Ibn Kathir says in the Tafsir and Babul Nuzul Islam, the rewards of jihad. Allah the Exalted is most honored. Criticize the people of Al-Madinah. Allah is criticizing them. Hey, Muhammad called you for jihad, you don't go? And the Bedouin around it, who did not participate in the Battle of Tabuk with the Messenger of Allah, they sought to preserve themselves rather than comfort the Messenger during the hardship of the battle.
You hurt my feelings. You need to put life after my life. Whatever you want to do, forget about me and Allah comes first. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He wants the jihadis to put their life before his. So their lives will go first.
And in Tafsir al-Qurtubi of chapter number 9, verse number, same chapter, chapter number 9, verse number 49, Muhammad said, come with me to jihad, to the Rome. Okay, this is Tabuk. I'm now going to show you the Roman jihad. Mm-hmm. So Muhammad said in Tabuk, come with me to the battle and I will give you, what? blondies. White skin blondies. And you know what the people said? The people said, no, we do not want you incite us.
Don't incite us with this beautiful blonde, blue, green eyes. Woo! You buff girl. I'm telling you, man.
And, you know, people were more good at that particular time, let me show you, than Muhammad himself, so that you could read it, because I was going to another website which did not show me what I wanted to show. And we'll go to Al-Qurtubi, and we will say Arad. And my students are for those statements. Okay, so brother, can you read this part? Let me zoom in on. Hold on.
وقيل له ذلك لأن الحبشة غلبت على الروم وولدت لهم بنات فأخذنا من بياض الروم ووادي الحبشة فكان صفرا لعسا قال ابن عباس في قول ابن إسحاق وسند الطبري أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أغزوا تغنموا بنات
الأصفر.
And there you will gain or you will inherit or you will see the daughters of us, the beautiful blonde girls. The
blonde. Asrat, hello. Blondies. And if you read it from the start, he's also saying they are white skinned, they are very pretty and all that. And you know what they said? Brother, now read what the people said.
Give us permission. We don't want to go to fight. Don't entice us with women.
So the people that you're enticing us with women?
I think you're unpolite. Why are you bringing this across to my
church? How is this unpolite? This is written how Muhammad was inciting them.
If my wife hears me saying that, she would get mad at me. Tonight I have to take a little walk. Immortality. And now you're going to say, well, focus on the pure about religion. So Sharia is for Muslims to lead Islam. That makes sense, okay? Don't practice Islam. At other times, jihad may be interpreted as holy war. I cannot imagine that they put this in our textbooks, holy war, because a little bit later, we're going to continue to read. We have found, yes, we do have found, but you're going to see the textbook contradicts the textbook by telling you, it is not a holy war. Some people, by mistake, call it holy war. But in that textbook, war history, on page 306, it says holy war. Read again. Jihad may be interpreted as holy war to defend Islam. I'm sorry, we don't defend Christianity. We don't defend Judaism. God does not want to defend us to defend them. There's no way you can do to defend Christianity. Christianity is God's doctrine, God's belief. Who am I to defend him or his belief or his teaching? Let us continue to defend Islam. And the Muslim community, however, just holy war, once again, use the Muslim war, may be declared only by the committee. Why they said that? Remember that 2007, that's up to 2011. They accused of some of the land to be not Islam because there's one guy who declared war on America, and one guy declared war is not jihad. Excuse me. Muhammad was one guy who Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was one guy who did jihad. He was a Khalifa. And Umar is the one guy who did, since when? The whole Muslim world has to be united to make a decision about jihad. It's a hard watch.
They have never read The Reliance of the Traveler. I mean, it's apparent. I mean, so again, textbooks like this should have citations to prove their point, and they don't. Otherwise, they should just shut up, as my opinion. I'm sorry. I'll be called a truth teller.
Okay. Not by an individual Muslim or, let's look another textbook and notice now the mistake or the contradiction between that war history book and the previous war history book. Okay. That book here is originally written in 2001 and then again one time in New York 2008. This to fight to get the beautiful blonde girl. so they can have sex with it. Capture some men and they go, oh, no, no, you know what? We don't feel right about having sex with these women. After all, we know this husband. They're married women. They have their husband. The husband run away. Their husband still alive. So Muhammad, you have to be careful about that. Oh, who was Allah? Oh, whatever your right hand is, yes, they are married, I understand. They have their husband, I understand. Their husband still alive, I understand. But they are your right hand is dead. So,
that's it. This guy just said, some Muslim, number one. Number two, he just said, without sword, then with money. But let me tell you, if I tell you that in Pakistan, they teach even the smallest of the kids to do jihad, believe it.
I believe it was Pakistan, the youngest man who beheaded his own cousin, 8 years old boy, who cut the head of his own cousin, a grown-up man, after the father of his family. Older man and the young 80-year-old cut the head completely off.
What if I show you 3 years old? Remove your screen. I will have to see this.
It is very bad. I don't want to show it to them.
Brother, you will not bear it. Check this out. I have played it myself. Check it out.
My
sister.
My sister.
you believe get me crazy, you perform jihad with your money and your wife. So the charity in Islam is money used for God. But I'm talking about acts of charity from the Muslims to the non-Muslims.
Never. So this act of charity, I think it actually refers to the percentage that goes to the caliph or to Muhammad. That is the only kind of concept of charity. They have to give him 20% of everything.
I was having a debate. I was showing the rights of wives in Islam today, part two. And in that rights of wife, I use chapter number 2, ayah number 223. It says, women are your skills. So you can come to them however you feel like.
Yes.
Okay. And I saw an act of charity, but rather, sorry, I did not see it as an act of charity. A guy said this is an act of charity. So I showed him Tafsir al-Darul Mansur, which is written by Jalaluddin al-Thayyib. Okay. And I showed him that there was a guy who actually said his name is Abu Sulaiman bin Cherjani. And Ibn Jarir bin Abi Malikia said, somebody asked somebody to this guy, can we do sex with the tuber, from the tuber? And he presented this ayah to them. And you know what he said? He said, last night, I went to my right hand possessed woman and I wanted to have sex with her from the tomb. And she was hesitant. And so I used an oil. That's an act of charity. So the Muslim said, this is a very nice act that he did not enforce himself on the slave girl, but rather he used an oil. Brother, I know one of the
acts
of charity as well.
Muslims who have sick minds, sick hearts, evil acts, thought by Muhammad, the self-esteem of Islam, was the last one that was doing charity, such evil, wicked, savage cults. So they were having such a relationship with the slaves and not the homeless, in an unusual way, even like this. And because he used oil to the homeless, so they took for her an act of charity.
He was like, brother, he acknowledged her request, even though she was a slave, and he used an oil.
That's how beautiful it is. Charity is beyond our regulation. Or, as well as any battle in defense of Islam. If Islam jihad is only defensive battle, jihad would have never started in Islam. Because not one thing is,
that
So what did he ask Mr. Barack Hussein Obama? It is that lots of meaning, different interpretation. Sorry, God is liar. Jihad in the Quran has one meaning. And as the Supreme Muhammad and the most powers in his day, and the last, the most powers of Quran in the last 10 years, what meaning? As a matter of fact, in the last of the Quran, we read about what jihad is. Most of us, what jihad is. It is war for the sake of our blood, bath, and religion. We got the verses of us to prove, but not making it up. Right now, boy and the girl, they did your words to give you the barricades of God. This is from that Muslim man from England.
I can't hear anything.
Can't hear that.
The volume is pretty low.
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay, and that means I'm trying to pick up all the way to the top I got, and in the video description, that's the part we need.
I'm not hearing anything.
All right, I'll repeat you again.
No, it was difficult, brother. It was all you have shown yourself. It was horrible.
All right.
Just play it one more time, brother. Just play it one more time.
One more time. He said, in their invitation, they put the sword over in it and the NDA, they accept Islam or not. If you don't, they chop off that one, if they chop off again. That is what jihadi would do. But that's not the garbage liar for the BBC, and he says, in their interpretation, excuse me, give me another interpretation. For why is that jihad have a different meaning, different interpretation? That is Muslim jihadi from fire, it's us, in their interpretation. What other interpretation you garbage Muslims have for the one jihad? Don't have another one. Okay? This is this one. I'll be fixing this one.
It's gotta go up. Sound's gotta go up.
I can't. Is in England. Preach in the streets of England. Let me repeat to you what he said. People see us as extremists because we don't compromise the words of Allah the Quran. The Prophet of Allah meant us to perform jihad. Now, when we preach in the streets of Quran, that he said, we must defend ourselves. Aha! Do you hear the language of the dead monk? They defend himself. What are you defending yourself from, you stupid? You came from Pakistan as a poor, with clothes, without food, with no shoes on your foot. And the British welcome you, and the British love you, and the British give you welfare money, and the British give you medicine, and the British give you education, and the British give you a hospital, and home to live in, and the British give you. Why do you want to defend yourself from the British? What the British did to you, piece of garbage? They make a man out of you instead of you living in Pakistan or Egypt or any Muslim country like a people talk. They make human out of you and you want to defend yourself? And then he said the fact. Allah gave us the Quran. 26 verse where he mentioned jihad. 79 verse where he mentioned killing. This is the end of Mr. Obama. This is the man and the end of all teachers of our public school. The understanding of jihad is in the Quran, a verse, a book he did not quote, a verse from to support your garbage lies about self-defensing or whatever. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Here are the verses. Look at the verses. We put it in a small booklet. It's not necessary to read. Okay? This is the quick response summary, so we can finish that in the next 15 minutes. You have to understand, neither the Christian or the Jew, neither the American or the British or any infidel engaged in war against the Muslims. Ever. Examine Muhammad, the creation of jihad. Examine the power of Muhammad, one after another, one Khalifa after another, one successor after another, and from the days of Muhammad until today, jihad was never for defense, but it was aggressive terror. You don't need the whole nation of Islam, the Muslim nation, the whole ummah in the world to declare jihad. It's always one. It's been Muhammad, it's been Abu Bakr, it's been Omar, it's been Osman, it's been Ali, and it's been all the Muslims all over the world. Bin Laden and others.
Well, before you go forward, and you sure. answer the things over here, brother, in the Islamic scriptures, there are multiple ahadiths. I'm going to show one, and this is very, very important. You don't need to. Like, you can just listen to me now, because this is how it is. So I'm going to show you this, and sorry, no worries, brother, that is all okay. But you know, it is my screen. Some of my screen is on. Where is it? Shoot, I can't even see my screen. Okay, let me take this one. So this one, this is the hadith. It says, whoever dies without having fought or thoughts of fighting, he dies on one of the branches of hypocrisy. So Muhammad said,
so don't you dare die before you go to jihad or even think about jihad, because you're not the head of it.
Exactly. So even if you can't do jihad, at least you have to think.
Meditate about the whole man. I grabbed this Christian, cut his head off, and I raped his wife and his daughter. Yeah. Now I'm not going to die in the head of it.
And I'm going to show another hadith, which is called the hadith of jihad. But before that, I'm going to show you how even the presidents of the United States can be deceived. You showed our Barack Obama. I'm going to show you Joe Biden. Watch, listen.
The Prophet Muhammad instructs, whenever a Muslim sees a wrong, let him change it with his hand. If he is not able, then with his tongue. If he is not able, then with his heart. That's God. Many of you are living, teaching in your own theories every day. Learning your faith and your principles. The American principles are consistent. Actions you think make life better for your family, for your neighbors.
All right.
These are actually the three levels of jihad given in the 1915 fatwa.
And that's probably for why it's called Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad. If Prophet Muhammad is Prophet, then Jesus is not but a garbage liar and stick in the head and die for no reason. Absolutely crazy, liar, and sick. That is our God Almighty Jesus Christ. When you say Prophet Muhammad, you're denying the deity of Christ. You're denying the work of Christ in the cross. You deny Christianity, you stupid Obiden.
Anybody who wants a copy of that 1915 fatwa, just go to paulsutliff.com and request a copy of the 1915 fatwa. I'll send it to you.
Let me just show you what hadith did we need. He read this hadith. Also in multiple other locations. It says, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, whoever among you sees an evil, man ra'iyal munkir. Brother Sama, this is translation evil. Now you translate man ra'iyal munkir. How do you say that?
Well, man ra'iyal munkir, if you see evil, if you see something bad, and the worst in God, the worst sin, the worst munkir, the worst evil you can see is for someone to associate anybody with Allah. The shaggit is
perfect.
The word in Quran.
Yeah.
The word
saying
is to make this show.
Perfect. Now, stick with me over here. Now, if in America, because he said this is the teaching, this is the morals of America. Now, in America, if a Muslim, according to this hadith, they'll see a Christian going to a church. What should he do?
First thing, blow up a bomb in the church, kill all the Christians.
If he can't do that, then
he would shout out loud at the church and say, "You infidel, you're gonna burn in hell."
And if he is not able to do that as well, that is the evil iman. That is the
weakest thing. That's the least you can do for Allah in your heart, fighting with your heart.
So jihad has three stages.
And evil or why this good is the worst thing. That's how the Christian is with the mosque. That's how the Muslims took over the 57 Muslim countries, and he's causing the foundation of jihad to the American people. And
it was an actual call for jihad, people. Yes. While he was running for office, this dementia-ridden fool called for jihad against America. It's my president, and I still call him a dementia-ridden fool. Sorry.
Let me close two slides here and then we'll move on to...
You are back on your side, sir.
I say, I'm sorry, it is unholy war. No such a thing as a holy war. Show me one battle where Muhammad fought defensively. And we can share with you a few hundred churches which are now mosques or were destroyed and burned by the hand of the Muslim. Somehow because they just don't like the cross on the church, or they don't like Christians worshiping Jesus in the church. We're going to be sharing with you the fact of Omar. We're going to be sharing with you the fact of Omar to understand exactly what the condition of the Christians who live under the Muslim. Hubert.
And Allah knows if you do not know. They ask you concerning war in the forbidden part. Say,
I'm not going to read the whole thing. Here we go. War is decreed for the Muslims to defend themselves. No! And the Muslim people are more decent than Allah and Muhammad because they hated to kill people like you, the Christian. They hated because they don't have any members. Okay? How about 941?
With your money and your lives for the sake of Allah. This is best for you, if you are knowing.
Where is the defensive war? Where is the defensive jihad? Where is the internal struggle of jihad? That's not exist.
There are lies against their Lord.
Here's the verse that's not talking about jihad. Here's the verse that's not talking about war. But here's the verse showing you the resolve of the Muslim. When a Muslim die and get killed while he's before God, when he died for the sake of Allah, guess what? He has received great provision. Good provision. Let me give you another couple of verses to prove the point. How they are triumphant? Let's be careful.
The Lord gives them mercy from himself and of his good pleasure. And
garden,
they will have in it everlasting bliss.
How long is going to live in this beautiful garden with the 72 forever whore and the little boys who are going to be serving them and the river of honey and river of wine and river of milk? It will go.
For the sake of Allah, so he will not let their work go astray. He will guide them and reform their condition, and he will admit them into the garden of which he made known to them.
Brother, and Allah has a as a center over there in the Jannah for these Muslims.
Sure.
To make their females ever virgin. Please never forget that part.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's amazing is we talk about jihad from our text. And by the way, I did not cover everything written in our text books about jihad. I only quoted you four or five books. The rest of the books keep the same garbage. Where are the Christians in this country? Where are the ministers that is preaching tomorrow in the churches? Shouldn't they read what our children are learning in our public schools? Let me think, Brother Paul Adams. Well, we have our church, our children, our church. How about the people who never set a foot in the church? And do you think you can do what our children are learning every day of the days of the school by 1 hour? Half of it is nothing to do with worship. And we don't teach our children anything about Islam in the church. We're losing the next generation. The next generation is going to grow up to be Muslim or sympathetic for the Muslim. They will vote with the Muslim, the Democrats will be running for office, and the Muslim will take over this country. All I think is one generation. Look what Biden did in America in 15 months. Imagine if Muslims have the Democrats for 15 years. One generation, he can destroy America. Talk about this.
Brother, I want to play a song, if you have time.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. We still have a good 10 minutes.
Okay, I want to play a song. This is a song that is very famous in Pakistan. The translation is in the bottom. You guys have to see the translation, but enjoy the song.
خاموش نہ بیٹھیں گے کوہین رسالت پر خاموش نہ بیٹھیں گے آبوں کی نشاط پر خاموش نہ بیٹھیں گے of guys, and
this guy had, according to the Pakistani news, this guy had over 700,000 people attending his funeral procession. And this is the guy who said, and yes, he also said that you guys are cowards right now. You are a specified idiot who thinks this is the thing created by the Yahudi Nasara, that Islam is peace. You foolish, stupid, demonic beings. Islam is not peace. If Islam is peace, tell me how many people became Muslim before Hijrah and how many people became Muslim after Hijrah when the words of Jihad was exposed.
Here it is. By the way, me and Sultan Adam was our TV show on Monday night. Central Time, in Missouri. What are we talking about doing this? We can all serve Jihad enough in this book. This part one of Jihad, we're just starting, as we're going through my book, Jihad in the Quran, and we got plenty of this.
Now, are you saying we are doing it on mine? We are pushing on your channel as well. So we are doing it every Wednesday on your channel as well as on mine.
Oh,
so it is on your channel.
I forgot. Okay, but if you want to know more, if you want to know more about Jihad in depth, we're not putting you garbage to life with a smile face. No, we're putting you the right thing of the Quran, the right thing of the Hadith, the interpretation of Moses. I mean, we're putting you enough. You cannot sit or just get my book. If you get this book here, Jihad Volume 2, you will learn more. But if you want to enjoy more, because obviously in our TV show we don't just stick with the book, we talk about other stuff. So join us. Hopefully we'll pray that you will learn a lot Wednesday night. Share it with others so you can learn more. Go ahead.
This is the guy, so that people will not say I'm saying anything wrong. Let me just play him. He says, for 40 years my Lord and my Mola did not do Ilan and Abu, the prophet became prophet. At that time, Rasul was very moral as well. Then for 13 years, Prophet Muhammad did the tabligh in the Makkah. Less than 100 people became Muslim. But when the Rasul had the sword in his hand, people say Islam spread by peace. They need to come to me and have a discussion with me. In 13 years, less than 100 people became Muslim. People were occupying the houses of Sahaba, companion of Prophet. Hazrat Bilal, they did very beating on Hazrat Bilal. Which zulm did not
happen?
But when Islam became in power, and the power is the sword of Rasulullah. And he was the keeper of the seven asul. Then at the time of Hajjat al-Wida, 125 people became Muslim. And women and children
separated.
All these people did not came as Muslim to do Hajj. They were wafood. And in 9 years, imagine how many people became Muslim. For the first year, Jihad verses were not even revealed. So Jihad started after the Hijrah, second year after the Hijrah. And in 9 years, Ijaja Nasrullahi wal Fathu Araitan Yaziz Manunaki Billahi of Fajr. So, brother, this is the guy, and this is the funeral procession of this guy. This is a very, very famous scholar of Islam in Pakistan. Unfortunately, he died. He's burning in hell. I am quite sure about that. But yeah, he is saying exactly what you are saying. And I'm just showing it because for the people of the West to realize, dude, you guys are ignorant. You have You have eyes covered with black strips. Open your eyes. If you want to see Islam, look at what the Islamic scholars are saying in the Islamic country, not in the West. That's it.
Brother Paul, we'll give you the last 30 seconds. See how much we are? We'll let you end the program, man.
It's time to give up Islam. And when you do that, then you find your path to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the real answer. So choose Christ.
That's a wonderful advice. I love to hear it. And you shared it last week. And it's the best advice. If I have anything to say, I say amen. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm still thinking about it.
Yeshua Akbar Azim.
If you people don't understand what is Yeshua Akbar Azim, he's a brother Evan saying, Jesus is great. He's bigger and great.
Angry.
Every
Muslim says Allah is bigger.
The Muslim says Allah is bigger. He says, no, Jesus is bigger and greater. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, appreciate you. Appreciate all those who've been with us on our show. Please ring the bell, share it, like us, whatever you want to do to help this ministry go. And I look forward to seeing you next day. I'm looking forward that we will hit large numbers. And I don't mind to speak to five people. This is my heart. But if we can speak to 500, why not? If we can speak to 5,000, why not? If we can speak to 50,000, why not? That's the truth before, and the truth will stand up as the Muslim free. Without any other thing here, please listen carefully to the last 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes, not much. 2.5 minutes, listen to the great invitation of all. If you are a believer in Christ, praise God. Be encouraged, brother. Share this with them. If you're not a believer, why you delay? If you guarantee another month or two to live, you know what? You can delay. But what would you do if you die tonight and this was the last opportunity for you to cry out to Jesus, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner? This invitation we're about to lay right now is not just to say, oh, tonight. No, it's about start the relationship with Christ. Be set free from your sin and get saved. Especially if you are from the Muslim background believer. Please
listen carefully to the gospel invitation. God bless you all. We'll see you next Saturday, Wednesday, and then Sunday. Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord? Knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for sin and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.the